This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What are they talking about?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know what? Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Maybe we need to change our approach to the 49ers this season.
Like a 7-foot putt.
Yeah, in this way. Maybe they're not the team that... Maybe we just have to start judging this team only on this year. And here's what I mean. If they beat the Patriots, it will be ho-hum. They will not get much, if any, credit for beating the Patriots at home and raising their record to 2-2. Like, this fan base, after the last 5 years, absolutely expects to win that game. And the 49ers should win that game. But what I'm saying is...
Would you like to guess the line?
When they win it,
yeah,
I think they deserve credit for winning the game, because we know this year's going to be a grind, and it's just not going to be as easy as the last few years where they just kind of roll to 12 wins or whatever they get. It's, you know, this year's about scratching and clawing maybe to get into the postseason, and then coming together at that time with a veteran team that knows how to get it done, or at least get to the Super Bowl. But I do think we got to start looking at this team maybe a little differently this particular year. What's the spread?
10 points.
Oh, my God.
You better win that game. That's the largest spread of the NFL season so far.
Well, somebody, let me see if I can get this.
I'm not saying you have to cover, but you better win. I could totally see.
No, I agree with that. They
backdoor
better
cover for the Patriots. Final
win.
Drive touchdown. Jacoby Brissett goes in for 6.
Let's go to Ryan. Ryan's in Redwood City. What's up, Ryan? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are y'all today?
We're good, man. Thank you. Well, I am.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So normally that last caller, I would agree about Shanahan and, you know, lack of accountability and this and that and everything. But I don't know. The kicker misses a field goal. And I don't know the name of the player that dropped the ball.
Ronnie Bell.
That, you know, both hands hit the ball. And come on. So you make that catch, you get one. I don't know. Players didn't execute. I don't know how you put that on Shanahan. If I was him, I'd point fingers too. I mean, they're getting paid to do a job. They didn't do it. I did mine this time. Now, other times, you know, we can look at him, I think, in, you know, accountability and or lack of it. But not that last game. You know, they should have won that. That game should have been a wrap.
Gotcha. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the call. I don't know if this is right, Evan, but it's from the 415. According to him, the largest underdog by spread has won the game straight up every week this season. And then he says,
"That is true.
Feel free to check what the largest spread is in week 4. So the biggest underdog in each of the first 3 weeks has won.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was the Patriots over the Bengals week 1, which, by the way, I called. Week 2 would have been, was it Saints over Cowboys? I forget who week 2 was. And then week 3 was Washington over Cincy, or the Niners losing to the Rams, one of the two.
The God, the Saints were the biggest underdogs in week
two. They were like 6.5 point dogs at Dallas. I don't know if there was a larger one off the top of my head. Oh, I thought you were going to read the 510 from the Xfinity Mobile text line. Sonny, I thought Goo was your main man. He still is.
Yeah, I got two main men. And you knew what Evan meant.
But I'm glad the caller brought up Shanahan because I actually didn't get the feeling like Shanahan was that perturbed by the loss.
Really?
Yeah. Listening to him post-game after the rain, like, I feel like games that go that way, he's usually very defensive. He's kind of aggressive towards the media. He's short. Sometimes he'll throw people under the bus, a la Minnesota last year and Steve Wilkes. He talked about special teams not being very good. Now, he didn't take the blame,
right,
necessarily. He didn't put it all on him. But I actually thought he was pretty even keel for a dude that saw his team collapse in front of his eyes.
Interesting. Interesting.
Maybe I'm the only one that got that vibe from Shanahan, but I was expecting him to be a lot more hot and fiery at the podium than he was.
I feel like with those kind of losses, those are killers. Because they're the kind of games where you look back, and you know, I've said this 5 times this week, but God, 1 out of 6 plays goes your way, and you probably end up winning that game. It's like from the fourth quarter on, they didn't make a play. And on the one hand, that would drive me nuts because you start spending all your time saying, oh, the bell drop, the punt return, the fake punt, all the stuff that went, you know, 2-2 getting behind, all the stuff that went wrong. But maybe, I don't know, after 7 or 8 years of coaching, Shanahan maybe knows that. Maybe you have one of those every year, just one of those games that slips away and there's no explaining it and you didn't make any plays down the stretch and let's go beat the Patriots. But
well, I think it also, to your point, could be Shanahan just feeling defeated. I mean, maybe he ripped his team and just expended so much energy in the locker room talking about how bad they played in crucial, you know, stretches that he just didn't have enough for the media. I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting. Like, I thought he would have been hot. I thought he would have been defensive. And he's been defensive even sometimes when they've won games. So the fact that he was a little more balanced, I don't know if people rated it as good or bad. I just took note of it because I expected a different tone.
Right. This is from the 510 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Very fair. Bottom line is our aces are hurt. We need to stop overreacting. The only issue with that is the aces aren't really hurt on defense. That's the issue, and defense seems to be the big issue. I'll go with you that way on the offensive side of the ball, but this is essentially who they're going to be defensively, right?
Yeah, especially that Hargrave's out for the entire regular season now. I mean, you'll get Greenlaw back. And I think there was an update yesterday from Shanahan that they expect him back middle of the season.
Yeah, he's saying midseason.
I mean, all right, so let me put it to you like this then, because we also started off the show talking about how McCaffrey's procedure in Germany will probably keep him out 4 to 6 weeks. If I told you right now that the San Francisco 49ers, after the bye week, week 10, first week of November, will get Dre Greenlaw and Christian McCaffrey back, what is the record they need to be at heading into week 10 for you to feel good about their season?
Oh boy, that's a tough question because
I know we're jumping pretty far down the line, but it's like if I told you you get Greenlaw and McCaffrey back week 10.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Does it matter what their record is?
If if Greenlaw and McCaffrey are actually Greenlaw and McCaffrey,
sure.
I think if they're 4-5 at that point, they're fine.
Okay.
Not fine, but they can still get it done at 4-5. But
well, the Buffalo Bills were 6-6 last year and ended up winning the division. They won 5 games in a row to finish the regular season. So it's not as if you can't be a 500 team even late in the year and still go on a run to make the postseason.
Right. And yeah, and that is the other unknown is if and when McCaffrey comes back, is he going to be Christian McCaffrey? Is Dre Greenlaw coming off that injury going to be Dre Greenlaw?
I think even just the presence on the field would be massive for this football team. Because even if McCaffrey is not 100% or the all-pro he was last year, you still have to account for him every time he steps onto the gridiron. Greenlaw is someone that, at the very least, even if he's not playing like Dre Greenlaw, I just think his presence and his leadership in that huddle is something that impacts everyone.
415 says they'll probably be 3-6. I would take that bet. You think the Niners are going to go 2-4 in their next six? I don't see it.
If they lose this weekend, I could see 3-6, but I don't see them losing to the Patriots.
Oh, by the way, thank you, 925. I think this is going to be right. It was the Raiders in week 2 against Baltimore that might have been the biggest dog.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah. Well,
but that's the thing. There's been a ton of underdog upsets.
I know it.
I mean, this weekend, I think the Rams and the Commanders were big, but also I don't think Denver was anything less than a 5 or 6 point road dog in Tampa, who was 2-0.
And was Carolina favored against the Raiders?
No chance. It was on the road.
Yeah, exactly. So there's another one. Alex is in Oakland. What's up, Alex? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
I just want to say, you know, from not because I'm not a Niner fan, but I am a football fan. And for what I can see what's going on with the 49ers is I think Shanahan has lost the room. Because you can only tell players that you've got a genius head coach, but none of the stuff the genius head coach does is winning you Super Bowls. Then on top of that, you let your defensive coordinator go to help you get to the Super Bowl. Now you come out and everybody's flat. You can only tell me you're a genius so many times before I start questioning you. And I think that's what's going. I think that's what's going on. And he already don't like Brandon Ayuk to even start with. And you mean to tell me you're not targeting that guy? It's like, I don't get it. And I just think it's like, it's just the arrogance.
Appreciate the call. I mean, we're hearing a little more and more of that maybe Shanahan is losing, I'm going to say his voice rather than the locker room. Because to me, when you lose the locker room, it's over. And I'm not convinced it's over. But when you lose your voice, then I think the veterans are still going to be able to perform. But maybe, you know, maybe the young guys aren't improving or getting the experience they need. It's one of these things. It's probably a million different things, and nobody really knows what the specific reason is. There's a million of them.
I would also push back on the Ayuk part of it. You know, I think Kyle Shanahan is notorious for being difficult on wide receivers in general, not just his best ones. So I do think there might be something to the negotiations impacting the working relationship, maybe, or maybe Ayuk's relationship with the front office. But then there was also the Jay Glazer report that Kyle literally sprinted upstairs to try and prevent them from trading Brandon Ayuk. Like, I don't think somebody that was pissed off at BA would do something like that. So, I mean, I don't think Shanahan has lost anything yet, but by the end of the year, that could be a different story. You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to winning and losing. And one of the reasons why Shanahan is as respected as he is sure, he's whatever people label him, a genius or he's creative. And, you know, as far as play calling is concerned and modern offense, he's at the forefront and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, it's because he wins games. Like, he's respected as a head coach because he has won, I think in terms of regular season, he's won almost as many games as Andy Reid. So, at least in the time that he's had to be there.
Right.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. While Kyle Shanahan does not have a Super Bowl, there have not been very many head coaches that have done what he's done.
That's what, as...
It is funny, though, that the guy who beat him this weekend is also someone who has a Super Bowl.
Yeah, remember when Kramer started working for the company, but he wasn't really working? He wasn't employed, but he was showing up and doing stuff, and the guy had to fire him. And then Kramer goes, well, I don't really work here. I don't even work here. And the guy goes, that's what makes this so difficult. That's what I thought of when you said Kyle Shanahan hasn't won the big one, but man, no, very few other coaches have had the success he has had the last 5 years. And it's like, yeah, that's what makes this all so hard. I mean, you're right.
Isn't it interesting, though, that
fascinating.
As long as you're connected to a Super Bowl in some way, shape, or form, that you kind of get a pass no matter what. Like, for example, John Lynch is not a Super Bowl-winning executive.
Right.
But he won it as a player. So all of a sudden he gets credit for that Super Bowl now that he's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. Let's go to Will's in the East Bay. I'm going to be loving this call. Go ahead. Go ahead, Will.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
No, it is.
Talk to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dig your show. Hey, listen, just to close the book on that game against the Rams, you know, that team played with a sense of urgency. We're talking about a team that's missing their two best receivers. Their offensive line is decimated. Joey Bosa's out. Aaron Donald is retired. They're down two scores at a time where the Niners could have stomped on their head. And that coach, Sean McVay, you could see the sense of urgency. You could see it, how animated, but you could see people around him taking orders. He really got that team engaged, and he really inspired them. And, you know, we could sit there and nitpick this play. You know, a missed block on the special teams play, the guy got around, like, whatever. But you know what? For every screw-up, there's a great play on the other side that we don't always talk about that allowed that play to break open, okay? And we can go through this a lot. And by the way, don't give up on Ronnie Bell, okay?
Okay.
Mahomes did not give up on those receivers, okay? He never pointed a finger or whatever, and they still got to the Super Bowl. There were more drops on the Chiefs than any other team. And my last thought, I know I'm taking some time here, but you have a multi-tool player that's out in Germany, might not come back. I think Shanahan's going to have to do some real creative improvising on that offense. And the whole thing in general is this team needs to play with a sense of urgency across the board. They need to play like their quarterback.
Good call. Good call, Will. Appreciate it. And looking forward to Will's call is because the title of his call, we have a comment for what every caller wants to call about, and it said, McVay outcoached Shanahan. Okay, this is one of my pet peeves. Anytime a team wins, it doesn't mean the coach outcoached the other guy. And I just think it's the easiest thing to say. He got outcoached. However, I'm with Will on this game on Sunday. It felt, as I was watching the game, like, yes, Shanahan was getting outcoached. Not just because he got the fake punt, but because of what he did psychologically to the Rams team. Somehow, that team was down 14-0 and 21-7, and he still has them thinking they can win the game. The other thing is, I'm just looking at the way the Rams offense went in the second half, and I just can't remember Stafford being pressured. I can't remember anything other than the Rams offense clicking. And so what I'm getting at is I do think he might have been outcoached on Sunday. Even though I do hate to say that, but that is what it kind of looked like to me. The Rams, he got the Rams to play a great game without a lot of his key players and somehow instilled into that team that they could beat the 49ers, and nobody really thought they could.
No, I sure didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But again, it's interesting. Kyle Shanahan's not calling plays on defense. His offense is not playing against a Sean McVay called defense. So did Kyle Shanahan lose to Sean McVay, or did he lose to Chris Shula, who, by the way, is their defense coordinator? Did Sean McVay beat Kyle Shanahan, or did he beat Nick Sorensen? I mean, if you want to go just literally, like, that's kind of what happened. My thing is, at the end of the day, Kyle Shanahan was outcoached, and to me, it's because of what happened on special teams. To me, special teams are always a reflection of the head coach. You rarely see mistakes on special teams from Baltimore, even though Justin Tucker can't hit a 50-yard field goal, apparently. But you rarely see mistakes on punts or on kickoffs from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You rarely see mistakes from what used to be, you know, I don't know, head coaches that don't necessarily call specific. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, but you get my point. Tomlin and Harbaugh, those teams are buttoned up. Kyle Shanahan seems to have issues with whoever's calling his special teams. And it's not just a problem this year. It's not been a problem. It has been a problem in the previous years. That is on the head coach. You know, your job is to get your team buttoned up, and they have not been that. And it's not just when they were down in the dumps at 1-2. So I think that's fair to say that Shanahan got outcoached by McVay. You know, but I also expect Kyle Shanahan to respond and help them win a football game this Sunday.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Here's another one from the let's jump out to the Central Valley. Let's talk to Jason. Hey Jason, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks again for taking my call today.
Sure.
Maybe I want to take the time to throw in the Central Valley plug. I am calling from Lathrop, by the way, so I give you your River Island plug right there if you want
nice.
To throw that in.
Yeah. you know what? Hey, sit tight. I'll do it. Jason from the Central Valley. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. All you.
I actually live in the community next to River Island, which is HOA list type of living, so just want to throw that out there as well. moving forward from here, I do agree with you what you said earlier, a bit earlier, Steiny, where I think we should alter our expectations of this team moving forward and take it game by game. You said earlier, we're also missing a bunch of our aces, and Christian McCaffrey has a lot to do with this offense, and I think Shanahan is still trying to find some adjustments moving forward with the offense with that, especially with the Ayuk that was never around during camp. Trent wasn't around during camp. There's a lot of adjustments that need to be made. And as a fan of this team moving forward, I'm no longer just thinking this team is just going to win the division easily or even be NFC or Super Bowl favorites. It's more so of a game-by-game type of expectation. Still believe in this team. Still believe they can turn it around in a positive way. Not sure exactly what that looks like towards the end of the season. However, I am still optimistic McCaffrey comes back and can return. But I still think we should take it game by game, and hopefully everything works out in the end. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, Jace. This is from the 510, Evan. Steiny, can you expand on the analysis and apply it to the fact that Shanahan has lost so many fourth quarters? Is there something about his coaching style that allows other teams to claw back at the end? Well, I just want to talk about the Rams game for now. And all I can tell you is while I was watching that game and they were up 14-7 and 21-7, I just felt like, in a way, Kyle Shanahan, it doesn't seem like sometimes it's good enough for Kyle Shanahan to win the game. That he wants to win it his way. And that's the way I kind of felt against the Rams. For example, you're missing McCaffrey, who catches passes. You're missing Deebo Samuel. You're missing George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk's not 100%. And can I prove this? No. But it feels like Kyle Shanahan is so into the game within a game that he went into that game saying, you know what? They think we don't have our receivers, and they think we're going to rely on Mason. And you know what? we're going to throw the ball today. And I'm going to win this game with Jennings and an Ayuk who's still a little rusty. And kind of it's kind of an I'll show him. I do think he does have some of that in him. And I know that's a kind of a vague and a general thing, but I just think he wants, it's important that he not only wins, but wins in his image.
Well,
or what he sees before the game, he's going to try to make sure that's what happens and is the reason why they win.
Yeah, okay, so his way is also giving you 10 wins, 13 wins, and 12 wins the last three seasons. So
no doubt.
It's not as if he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, how he wants to win is what he philosophically believes is how football, at least offensively, I don't know about his defensive values, but offensively, that's the way it should be played. You know, and the first drive when they marched down the field, I actually felt like it's because they're running the football really well.
Right.
And that first touchdown pass that Purdy threw was because everyone was inside the box or paying attention to Ayuk. Juwan Jennings is wide open. You know, the second drive, they marched right down the field. And sure, you know, maybe some weeks he wants to throw it more. Some weeks he wants to probably run it more. It has to do with the strengths of the opposing team. You know, I just... they've lost back-to-back games. One team I thought was better than them. The Rams, I do not think were better than them. I still don't think they're better than them. And that's probably what eats Shanahan. But the one thing that I was very encouraged by, and maybe we can dig into on the other side, is the fact that the level of play from his quarterback didn't wane. It didn't dip. No matter how many pieces were out, no matter how much Jake Brendel couldn't keep a single guy out of the backfield, no matter how much Colt McKivitz couldn't keep his feet in front of a defensive end, Brock Purdy played well. And he played well enough for them to win that football game.
No, that I agree with you on wholeheartedly. All right, what's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank, celebrating how many years? 60. 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.